You're probably saying, why is John talking about gardens? Okay. Well, I've been unpacking, and I came across an old book that many of you may have read. See if you know which book it is. This is a test. It was Sunday. Chance was in his garden. He moved slowly, dragging the green hose from one path to the next, carefully watching the flow of water. Very gently, he let the stream touch every plant, every branch of the garden. Plants were like people. They needed care to live, to survive their diseases, and to die peacefully. Any guesses? Now, this dates me. This is from my time. It goes back to also a movie. It was made with Peter Sellers, 1979. Ralph being there, exactly. Jerzy Kaczynski, a controversial author, as many of you may know from his earlier work, The Painted Bird, which I had to read in college. But here in this particular book, Being There, he compares human life and plant life. Satire of American politics and media. Being There is a story of Chance, the gardener, a simple though sincere man like Forrest Gump. Over a period of 4 days, Chance, whose name soon becomes Chauncey Gardner, becomes a national figurehead, the heir to the throne of a Wall Street tycoon, as well as a presidential political advisor. His simple and straightforward responses to American concerns are praised as visionary and as hopeful, though in reality, Chance is simply talking about gardening. He is explaining everything to people in terms of what his life is like when he is tending to his own garden. His common sense and literally down-to-earth wisdom attracts people to him. According to Chance, human beings are like plants in the garden. In a garden, growth has its season. There are spring and summer, but there are also fall and winter, and then spring and summer all over again. As long as the roots are not severed, all is well, and all will be well. Penny, and I wanted to mention Penny because I had to apologize to her again. Penny and her task force, they gave me only one task. I failed miserably at it. She merely requested that in my spare time I get a pail of water for the beautiful poinsettia plant centerpiece, which used to be right here, right there. Just water it, John, she said, and that's all you have to do. And I said, I'll do it. And then I went into my office and immediately forgot her request and opened a book and it died. So it did. Back in August of 2014, after Catherine moved to Traverse City, and I was trying to figure out a way to get up here to join her, thank you for helping me out. Bless your little hearts. She put me in charge of all of her plants in the Jackson, Michigan parsonage. A small request, she just said, please just water the plants. On her Thanksgiving visit, she noticed that even the desert cactus had died. She said, you didn't even water the plants once? And I said, I forgot. I thought they would be okay on their own. In my first church in Lake Odessa, Michigan, and Lake Odessa is not a A lot of people think of it kind of like a maybe Traverse City or Cadillac, but it's actually a farming community. Several parishioners helped me plant my first garden for just to have an experiment and to have some camaraderie, you know, with the farming community. I wanted to feel what it was like, and so they were really wonderful helping me plant the garden. It was springtime. My garden included green beans and carrots and lettuce and onions, squash, watermelon, and tomatoes. Most of my small garden of seeds eventually sprouted, except for the tomato seeds. At the end of the summer, after furiously watering, nurturing my garden, I was pleased with the results, except for the pesky tomato seeds. Only very small plants were coming out of the ground at that time. I didn't understand what the problem was. How many of you have planted tomatoes from just the seeds? Really? Not in the ground outside. This is very informative. Why don't you just come up here and we'll... This is very informative. I didn't do that. But I'll tell you this, at the very end of summer, Catherine and I went to Stratford, Ontario. We like our Shakespeare for 2 weeks. I came back with Catherine, walked into that garden, both of us together. It was after Labor Day. Miracle of miracles. Every one of the small plants had grown significantly, and they were weighed down with juicy, ripe, red tomatoes. 2 weeks. My first son... Thanks a lot, Robin. I was going to say that. The parishioners came and planted. It's right there. It gave away the joke. But it did happen. That Sunday, I was talking about the miracle of how things happen that we just don't understand. And they were all giggling and laughing. What an idiot up there. But they said to themselves, they wouldn't say that to me, you know, being a reverend and all of that. After that service, that Sunday service, they awarded the Dowd family, which at that time consisted of John and Catherine, with a trophy of a very rare fur-bearing trout. So if you ever receive a fur-bearing trout, you'll know that it probably came from the waters of Lake Edessa. There is no Lake Edessa, by the way. And people couldn't, they were very difficult, apparently, and argued and argued. And Lake Jordan, the name of the lake, and Odessa Township became Lake Odessa, because that was the compromise. But it has confused people ever since. Lake Odessa, where is it? Well, it's on 66 going south. Churches are like gardens too. And so listen to a few of these similarities as chance provides some insight regarding the gardens of the world. He says, I know the garden well. I've worked in it all of my life. It's a good garden. It's a healthy one. Its trees are healthy, and so are its shrubs and flowers, as long as they are trimmed and watered in the right seasons. The garden needs a lot of care. Everything in it will grow strong in due course. There is still plenty of room in it for new trees and new flowers of all kinds. In a garden, things grow, but first they must wither. Trees have to lose their leaves in order to put forth new leaves and to grow thicker and stronger and taller. Some trees die, but fresh saplings replace them. Gardens need a lot of care, but if you love your garden, you don't mind working in it and waiting. Then in the proper season, you will surely see it flourish. Optimism in the garden. How does a garden grow? With patience and a green thumb, as well as attention, tender, loving care. And if we cannot love our gardens and don't mind working in them and waiting, then they will eventually flourish. While Isaiah is the prophet we hear so much about during the Christmas season, he's also a prophet of the garden, as Tom made clear in the liturgy reading. Though in Babylonian exile, Isaiah challenges the people of Israel with this message. It's all about justice, actually. If you loose the bonds of wickedness and let the oppressed go free, if you share bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, if you cover the naked and help heal those who are sick, if you stop pointing your finger at others and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then God will guide you continually and satisfy your desire with good things and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Professional ministers, like the one standing up here, can be taught by chance and by Isaiah. First, in just a few words, they say what needs to be said. It's about 11:15. Let's see if we can get out of here on time. Probably not. Here is a lesson that follows the ditty for all ministry. The jawbone of an ass is just as murderous a weapon today as it was in Samson's time. The other saying goes, "You're talking so loud I can't hear what you say." The fewer words provide a greater message. Less is more. Consider Lincoln's Gettysburg Address as compared to the long, drawn-out presentation just prior to it. How long was it? It's like almost an hour, I think. And then Lincoln, he stood up and gave this kind of very short but enduring and magnificent Gettysburg Address we'll never forget. Secondly, chance and Isaiah believe in tomorrow. They have hope. They will never give up. They believe in possibilities where others see impossibilities. Risk and reward, they're two sides of the same coin. The artist Leon Salter called himself a maverick, optimist, hopeful human being in all of his work. He said, "People who want to age gracefully have a movie concept of themselves. Nobody's going to hand you that picture. Get in there with the living and lay off the rocking chair brigade. Put your heart out. Granted, someone might step on it, but someone might be inspired too. So risk and risk and risk and do it now." Third, consider who we are with our small but vital congregation in this beautiful, historical Cadillac meeting house. Because of our size, we do not have any employee, including John. None of us are full-time. And therefore, much of the work of this church needs to be done by every single one of us. Because of this, we are both blessed and cursed, which provides ballast and balance. It is absolutely necessary for the recruitment of volunteers to coordinate teams in a ministry network. The risks and rewards are boundless and plentiful because we become directly involved in this ministry as priests to each other. We could call this profit sharing. It moves beyond the ordained, professional, Reverend Dowd, who in a large Trinitarian church would be considered by some as God. You know, that's why they stick us up here and put on a fancy robe. But my grandmother gave this to me, as I already told you, so that humbles me. Also, others might say, "Oh, that's Jesus." But most would probably say he's just a ghost. Personally, I prefer being a unicycle rather than a tricycle, since this keeps me off balance and perfectly humble. I don't mind falling on my face, and I'll do it again and again. You'll see that through the years. Since we are so completely integrated into this church, we encourage others to join because we're proud of everything we espouse, open and affirming the embrace of people who are and who are not Christian. All are welcome here, all theological differences. Come on in so that we can learn from each other, science, religion, education, anthropology, sociology, psychology, philosophy, art, music, great literature, you name it. We'll explore it here in this church. Sidney Harris once quipped, "Get the right perspective. When Goliath came up against the Israelites, the soldiers all thought, 'He's so big, we can never kill him.' But David looked up at the same giant and thought, 'He's so big, I can't miss.'" It doesn't matter that 34 American cities are windier than Chicago. People look for wind when they come here, Sidney Harris says, and they find what they look for. There's a lesson in this for all of us. The Cadillac First Congregational Church is a garden of goodness because we embrace and we welcome everyone. Of course, as Pat McCurdy mentioned last Sunday, bees go out and pollinate. That was the children's message. So possibly that is something we could think about. The risk may involve getting stung a few times, but the great reward is that honey. I mean, of course, asking our neighbors and friends whether or not they have a church home, and if not, to come here and experience the wonder of this great place. They may turn us down, but they may take us up on the invitation. Hey, I've been stung before, but I just put a bandage on it and I move on to the next hive. Why do you come to church? Why do you come here to church? Why is this church meaningful to you? I mean, is there one thing that really makes this church so significant to you? Figure out what it is. What's number one? Have a list of priorities. The people here, the right to openly ask questions without being put down, to express theological differences in respectful dialogue, or is it the remarkable music? I love the music here. Some would say that when they remember church, what do they remember? Not the sermon, they remember the music. Others remember the food. We have a lot of chefs in this church, I notice. Very appealing to me. Hold on to it. Share this with others. As a faith community, we go through many life events and experience together. It has been said that if you're not close enough to know what causes me pain, you're not close enough to love me. It is important for us to share our struggles, our pains, our joys, because everyone needs a support system. For Jesus, the disciples were not only students, but they also supported him. And that is what this church can be for us. Everyone needs a reason to be uplifted periodically, to be heard by others, and to do something significant, to be bound to a group of people as a family, to be rewarded, and to have hope in the future. The diversity of theology and the varieties of religious experience are as widespread as all the gardens of the world. We listen to advice and opinion from the suits, but we will follow our own hearts and minds and spirits. We do not cast judgments in this church, and we don't make others feel guilty about what we have done or what we're about to do. Instead, we say that today is Sunday. It is a new day, a day to resurrect hope and joy, love and forgiveness. And so with all of this winter weather, it's cold, snow all around, it's good to talk about gardens, especially in this season as we begin a new year. We can hope and dream of springtime planting and summer cultivating and fall harvesting and getting everything right with those tomatoes. It may be cold outside, but it's warm in here. Sometimes it's even like a rainforest. So why not take the warmth and cultivate this congregation from the inside out? Let's help this garden grow by sharing our personal stories of Christmas and Easter, the miracle birth of children, the resurrection of spirits that had previously withered and died, given up for dead, and yet somehow have returned to life through trimming and pruning and watering. Like the small gardens you have planted just outside our church, can we work together and make this Cadillac First Congregational Church garden grow? I'll conclude with some thoughts by Chance and the prophet Isaiah. Yes, it's a good garden. It's a healthy garden. Its trees are healthy, and so are its shrubs, so are its flowers. Everything in it will grow strong in due course. And there is still plenty of room in it for new trees and new flowers of all kinds. The garden needs a lot of care. But if you love your garden, you don't mind working in it and waiting. Then in the proper season, you will surely see it flourish. For the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire with good things and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Amen.